Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How many innings do you think you could go in game one?
As many as we need. There's no holding back now. I think my job's been the same since the first day I got here. You hand me the ball when you want me to throw it, and you take it out of my hand when you want me to stop. That's what I'm going with.
.403 in the afternoon, Felger Maz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the nation on NBC Sports Boston on the TV side. Catch us on your phone on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app anytime, anywhere. If you miss it live, the live stream pops right up when you open up the app. But if you miss it live, catch us that night or the next morning and catch up on anything to do with Felger and Maz. That's how you get us. That's Chris Sale yesterday on his expectation here going into game one. What do you expect from a Maz pitch count wise?
Somewhere around 90 again. I think that's all you're going to get. I think he gets to that number and the Red Sox know he loses it, and that's it. So I don't know what that means. Six innings? I mean, in a perfect world, that's six. I doubt you're getting seven. You're probably getting less than six because it's the World Series, so five and change.
How about third time through the lineup? That's a big stat nerd thing.
Absolutely it is. And so, look, Sale is a little different because he's Sale, right? So as long as he's throwing the ball well, you'll let him go through the lineup as many times as you want. But sure, I think they all factor in. I think you watch him and keep an eye on him and see how it goes. And, you know, I'm saying this to you yesterday, but I think it's a big thing. I don't think you can bank on him later in the series. I just don't think he's bouncing back. And so, do you know, your theory with the whole stomach thing, the more and more I think about it.
Oh, yeah, you have a developing opinion on this.
I do. The more I think about it, and you've said that it's a result of painkillers. Or likely the result of painkillers for anti-inflammatories for his shoulder. And the more I think of that, I think you're onto something. Because when I went back and watched Sale's outing in game one of the championship series, that second inning, he was brutal. I mean, he was all over the place. He couldn't finish a slider. The ball's finishing up and out of the strike zone, which tells me it hurt. It hurt. So he couldn't all of a sudden, you know, snap that slider into the strike zone like he wanted to. So maybe after the second inning, he went in there and they gave him more. Because in the third and fourth inning, he was better.
I'm just not sure you can do that with a lot of that stuff.
So, but again, maybe there's a reason. Maybe that's why.
Maybe why he got sick, he overdid it. So what I've always heard on a lot of pain medication in football is that you sometimes have to pick a half. Which half? You're either medicated for the first half and that wears off in the second and they won't give you more. Or you wait till the second half and do it then. And you're good in the second half, but you struggle in the first. A lot of people think that's what happened to Aaron Rodgers in that the playoff year they lost in Seattle.
Right.
He had a really great first half. He had a really bad ankle, and he had a really good first half, and then the second half was like weird. He couldn't move.
And he was hobbling, yeah.
And it was, they think, the Toradol or whatever he's on, they're wore off, and they're not going to give you a second shot.
I just wonder with Sale, because again, if you go back and look at that game, the third and fourth innings were different than the second.
But then didn't he settle down later?
Those two. Then he came out.
Third, fourth. I see.
Yeah, that was it. Then he came out. And so I just wonder, I don't know. He strikes me as the kind of guy that would go in and take it on his own. Like, you're not going to give me more? Fine, I'll grab it on my own. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I have no idea if it works that way.
And I have no idea either. I'm just telling you that I wonder if something changed in the middle of that game. And it's probably a crazy, stupid, cockamamie theory. It wouldn't be my first.
Well, that's okay. That's what we do. I just find the matchup absolutely fascinating. That, I mean, this is, we had Mad Dog on earlier. You can hear the interview again on 98.5thesportshub.com in the app. You know, he goes into, and I forget the names now, but you know what Dog does. He immediately goes back to 1934, and it's Smokey Joe Wood versus so-and-so, and it's
Gibson and McLean.
It's Gibson and McLean, and it's Whitey Ford versus Warren Spahn in 57. He gives you all the historical, you know, stud matchups in the World Series, mostly before my father was born, never mind me being born. But it is that kind of night. It is that kind of night. You know, Kershaw, Sale? I don't know if Sale makes the Hall of Fame.
No, but these are two must-see pitchers that most, I think, even casual fans tune in to see them pitch a couple of innings in their prime.
I mean, when you talk about the greatest pitchers of this decade, of this generation,
they're definitely in the top five.
I mean, they're it. So, I mean, and you don't get that. You feel like you get that every year, but you don't. Like, who's the best pitcher Madison Baumgartner ever squared off against? Who did the Royals even have like a real all-time ace?
I don't know if he got Greinke any of those years. Like, off the top of my head, I don't feel like he did.
Okay. I mean, Cueto is one of the better pitchers, but he's been nothing recently. He's
not the same.
Not an all-time.
And last year, it never matched up that you got Kershaw and Verlander in that World Series. So right. It's like on paper, this has it could be an all-timer.
It's an all-timer, except you have no idea what what Sale's shoulder or health looks like and how far he can go. So how epic can it be if he can only pitch 85 pitches and comes out in the fourth? Kershaw is better and has been better in the postseason of late, but still has his moments, and he's never really pitched in the cold. He has only one game to his track record that was started under 50 degrees, and he got shelled.
Isn't that amazing that he's pitched that long and only once been under 50 degrees?
I was going to say, I wonder if that's a little overrated, because he must have pitched in San Francisco a crap ton, and I don't care if the temperature is 51, those nights in San Francisco, especially at Old Candlestick and whatnot, are cold as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, those are not good conditions. So he must have pitched in that a lot. I mean, I don't know if that's overrated or not. All I'm telling you is, for an all-time lock-it-in ace versus ace matchup, these guys could both be out in the third inning.
Oh, sure they could.
And I mean, you have
this could be like
idea.
A 9-8 game or something like that.
You know, never mind the way the game is managed now. Where it's you go to that pen earlier than later, you're aggressive, you get that guy out at the first notice. So for all that all-time stuff, and I think it's there, it really could be nothing.
Yeah, and look, again, the cold's a variable, because I do think that Kershaw, as much as he's a power pitcher, it's about that grip, right? It's about that grip on the curve. So, like, you look at it and say, if his fingers are a little numb and he doesn't get quite the same grip that he's had in the past, is he quite as effective? I don't know. Like, I don't want to overanalyze the thing either. My guess is that they both get into the middle innings. Feels like a pitcher's night. It's going to be kind of cold. Neither of these lineups have seen the other guy here in some time. So I think you're going to get some unknown and some feeling out in the early part of the game. What concerns me with Sale is the ability to throw strikes. After that game against Houston, holy crap, he might as well have been blindfolded out there the way that second inning went. So that scares me, but I also think with Sale, he's going to empty the bucket tonight. I think I'd be willing to bet that the Red Sox have told him, look, don't worry about game five. Give us everything you've got in game one. Give us everything you've got. We'll worry about game five when we get there. If you can go, you can go. If you can't, you can't. Because that's how I would treat it if I were them.
All right, as promised, we continue with your thoughts. Steven Bilirica, your thoughts on the World Series. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, it's going to be a series, number one. But the two things that I'm nervous about is the two big relievers, two big closers that the Dodgers got to have to get their names. Two big guys at the end.
Yep.
And remember the David Price interview with his kid crying in the background?
Sure.
Doug, that reminds me of you, Fugger, after a Patriots win. get a grip.
That's a good line. Yeah, that's a good line. Baez is their setup guy, the big setup guy?
So I think they rotate setup guys. I don't even know who.
Yeah, no, there isn't one chief guy. Right, it's not. It's like they've got a pretty deep pen.
I mean, they got a lot. Again, the left-right that they can go with out there is because I've seen, and I always pronounce his name wrong too. I want to say it's Urias too, the lefty. Urias, however they pronounce it. Kenta Maeda will get some key at-bats against right-handed batters late in the game. Jansen's the one, though. I mean, he is an absolute freaking moose. And you know what? He's not 100% right either. You know, when I saw him in the Milwaukee series, he was throwing 94, 95. That guy can hit 3-4 miles higher than that easy. So, like, I look at that and I say, but I do think the Dodgers have an edge in bullpens. I mean, maybe that's something we're not spending enough time on. It feels to me like they got a better staff beginning to end.
No question that I think the pitching's squarely in their favor, including the starting rotation, but certainly the bullpen. No doubt about it. They also have a more advantageous left-right mix, which is why Drew Pomerantz is on the team to even it out. Both these teams hit right-handers as well as any team in the league. They're 1-2 in the league against right-handers. Against lefties, they're both middle of the pack. So you want to throw lefties against both the Dodgers and the Red Sox. The Dodgers have the left-handed pitching to do that. The Red Sox, not as much. That is why they activated Drew Pomerantz. The lineup is also in. Want your thoughts on it, Maz?
So the thing that strikes
me... Can I read it, please?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Betts. I mean, just so people know what it is.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
Betts, Benintendi, P- Pierce in the three hole at first base. Martinez, Bogarts in the five hole. Devers at third base, batting sixth. Kinsler in the seventh spot at second, then Leon and Bradley Jr.
Yeah, so the thing that stands out to me is Devers. I mean, you had Cora on the record here in the last couple of days saying, you know, we're going with our typical lineup against left-handed pitching.
So you got Devers against the lefty.
Right. You've got Devers in there, which now look, the matchup numbers for Nunez against Kershaw aren't great. I think they're 2-for-12. I just looked at it quickly on this sheet. But based on what the manager was saying, you would think that he was going back to Nunez, and in fact, they went the other way. And I actually think this is the right move.
Why?
Because I think Devers is playing better, and I think Devers can connect on a lefty, and there's always a chance that he belts one off the wall. And Kershaw's not your true dominant left-on-left guy. I think the numbers for Kershaw are actually a little bit better with left-handed batters. So it's that big curveball. Those big curveball guys can often be reversed. You know, and Pomeranz is this way to a certain degree, too. So take a crack. Devers runs into one. It's a game-changing hit. And I just think Nunez against Kershaw is a mismatch. I'll go the talent there. I like that move.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
We talk about the Indians, we talk about the Astros, New York. I think we're up there with them.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Just jumped all over it, the straightaway center field.
Changed a lot of stuff up, you know, here the first 2.5 years, and you know, to be able to get back to the pitcher that, you know, Boston signed, you know, that's about time.
And now trying to end the eighth, and he does it with a flare. He struck him out. There's another one.
No.
High deep drive, left field to the monster seats. It's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
It's hard to see the guy that hit three home runs here, Shane. He has to play.
Up the middle and through, and that's how the Red Sox have walked it off tonight. Andrew Benintendi. Fly ball left field, that's deep. Back it goes, it is gone. Mookie Betts has hit for the cycle. Flair slicing in left field, it drops in, and that's gonna do it. The Red Sox have walked it off. Mitch Moreland delivers the game winner. Down he goes, strike three, and the Red Sox win for the 108th time.
That ball's ripped down the right field line. That is a fair ball home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt. Bouncing ball, going to be a tough play. Nunez gloves, throws, and in time for the out. The Red Sox will celebrate.
A lot of people gave up on us after losing game two. We showed up yesterday, and we did an outstanding job, and tonight we had our plan. We have a complete team. We're very versatile. We count on everybody, and it was a great team victory.
Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall, can only watch. A grand slam!
A strikeout for Eovaldi, as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Yeah.
Trust a guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. And I'm sure David Price has mountains and mountains of crow to dish out. And his first career postseason win sends the Red Sox to the World Series.
Now, a lot of people are proud of what supposedly I'm doing. Now, like I tell everybody, I'm proud of the group. You know, this is a group that they have high expectations, and the goal is to win the World Series.
And thanks to Jimmy Stewart for that season-long look at the Red Sox, and given how they've played, how consistent they've been, how they've rolled in the postseason, I think there's an expectation that they just keep that going against what is an inferior league champion. In other words, the NL is just inferior to the AL. There's no question about it. And so if you can do this in the American League and roll like you did against the Yankees and the Astros, and never mind the 108 wins, you should be able to do against the Dodgers. So I think that's the expectation here in town. If you look at it deeper, though, it's not that easy. And, you know, well, for example, Alex Spear in the Boston Globe, John Henry's fourth son. Does John Henry have any sons?
Like I don't know.
Like the fifth Kraft son, whatever.
But if he did, they'd be just like Alex.
No question. So the spawn of John Henry, Alex Speer, writes in the Globe today, the John Henry-owned Globe, think the World Series is a mismatch? Think again. And then he delves into all sorts of advanced metrics, and a lot of it is the left-right matchup that we've been talking about all day, that the Red Sox are just an average hitting team against left-handed pitching, and the Dodgers have three of their four starters from the left side and some bullpen arms from the left side. He does, but not just that. He looks at the nature and how they throw. Here's one for you. Ready to suck on this, Murray?
This ought to be good.
Okay.
During the regular season, the Red Sox, per baseballsavant.com, that's the source, baseballsavant.com. And now, if these numbers worked against me, I'd mock them. I'd go like this, baseballsavant.com. But they actually play into my agenda, so I'm going to give them a fair reading.
I like this new voice we're doing.
These are handsome nerds that get women.
Yes, these are the regular working man nerd, like you and me.
Per baseballsavant.com.
Baseballsavant.com says the Red Sox hit 168 against left-handed breaking balls, the worst mark in Major League Baseball.
Oh, boy. Wow. What's Kershaw's best pitch?
What's all their best pitches?
Yeah, that Rich Hill, man.
Rich Hill is nothing but a giant looping breaking ball, and then he'll throw 89 that looks like 94 because he's thrown so much slop up there. So Rich Hill is nothing but a junk ball, you know, breaking ball left-hander. Kershaw, it's all off his breaking ball. And I'd say Ryu is too, from what I've seen from him. Okay, a big looping curveball. He has it. And also apparently this Wood, Alex Wood in the bullpen, throws a big breaking ball. The Dodgers lefties throw breaking balls, and the Red Sox were the worst hitting team in the league this year against left-handed breaking balls. Their 274 slugging mark ranked second worst. So there's just another little thing for you there, which has nothing to do with momentum and how you looked against the Astros, who were mostly right-handed out there, mostly, and has nothing to do with all these other things that were sort of, you know, everything Alex does is right. Well, you haven't really faced a staff that throws like this in Los Angeles.
No, so I think you put legit stock into stuff like this. It tells you these guys don't like the ball breaking down and in. And the irony is that they have some guys who that historically have been good against left-handed pitching. You know, Bogaerts historically has killed left-handed pitching. And again, I'm going over his career, not this year. But Martinez's numbers, J.D. Martinez's numbers against Kershaw are pretty good. So let's keep an eye on that one. Maybe that's a, you know, your star against their star. So and I don't know where Pierce fits into all that. They obviously added him in the middle of the season, and Pierce has been a factor for them against left-handed pitching. But I think those left-right numbers, I think I've said this to you before, the game's built on that. The game's built on it. That whole left-right thing is pretty much what you're going to get in most games. So if that's a hole, the Dodgers will exploit it.
Mike in Rhode Island, your thoughts.
Hey, it's all coming down to pitching. It won the Yankee series and the Houston series for you. You're pitching. You guys struck gold against them with your starters. Okay, you didn't really have to go to your bullpen. Felger, you're saying the same thing. The Dodgers staff from top to bottom is so much more solid. Okay, and then I just don't get all these New England fans or Boston fans thinking that it's over. You know what I mean? I remember, it kind of reminds me of last year against Cleveland and when the Celtics were up two games. They were talking about how the Warriors weren't that good. You know what I mean?
So look, you know, most of my analysis is based on what LA can do, not what you can't. Because I think you've proven yourself in most every situation. So I don't think you're going to suck. I don't think you do suck. I think you're going to play well and you're going to pitch well and all these things. I'm not telling you I haven't told you once what you can't do. I'm just trying to drive home. I think you're underestimating what the Dodgers can. That's all. And if they pitch better than you, in the past, if someone pitched better than you, they won. It's different now with the way the game is played, but I still think you got to give that some credence. If they pitch better than you, it's going to be a series, and they have the arms to do it.
Well, they also have the arms in the bullpen, right? So, like, even if you de-emphasize the starters, their bullpen's been the best bullpen in the entire postseason so far.
Okay, to say the Dodgers have better pitching than the Red Sox is met with disapproval in many corners, including that in Florida. Alan, you disagree.
Oh, without question. You know, you didn't listen or pay much attention when I told you Verlander couldn't win a game at home. Kershaw was the best pitcher in baseball. I know he pitched a good game against your Brew Crew. By the way, Alex Speer should sit in that crowd. He'd be a stud in that crowd. Anyway, there is no question. I will take the Red Sox. You know, this, Shaughnessy, Mike, I said to you the other day, and you didn't agree with him. This is one of the biggest underachieving teams. I know they're in the World Series. They played in that disgusting, horrible National League. They underachieved the whole year. They were lucky to be where they are now. This, who do you think is a better pitcher, Sale when he's healthy or Kershaw now? Kershaw's velocity is way down. Ryu, he got croaked his last time. And he's an average pitcher. Bueller is great. He's got the best stuff of anyone on the team. But he's a rookie. He was shaking like a leaf out there. And Hill with his junk, well, they'll find a way to to hit him. Their relief pitching, the great Jansen that Maz, you just said he's a stud. The whole year they almost took him out of the closing role. He couldn't get anyone out for three quarters of the year.
How's he been in the postseason?
Oh, no, he's doing better in the postseason.
I think he's been perfect.
But how about Kimbrel? Maybe he found himself.
How's he been? What do you mean, maybe? Wait a minute. Alan, you can't have it both ways. You can't on the one hand say one guy's pitched well in the postseason and the other guy's going to find himself. You can't have both.
Well, I'm just saying he found himself the last game. I thought he did pretty well. Well, yeah, in the ninth inning, why didn't he do well?
Well, he got him out. I mean, let's see.
You know what? You guys don't care. It's how they win the games. So far, did he blow a save, by the way?
Oh, God. Alan, stop with that garbage, because you know he's been bull crap. Okay? And now you're just trying to get under my skin, which you're doing, by the way. But I would tell
you. By the way.
Oh, Kimbrel's been crap, and you know it.
What did Jansen do all year? Do you know?
Very little. Yeah, but he was coming back off a weird. Wait, he's coming back off like a weird heart.
He found himself against these lousy National League teams. Let him.
I talk, you talk. He was coming off a weird heart thing, right?
Yes.
Okay? And so, I don't know. I just put stock in how he's pitched in the postseason in the last couple of weeks. Why wouldn't you wait that, Alan? Isn't that more important?
Well, 2 weeks doesn't make up for a year. Let's see if he does it. He did it against the National League teams.
He did.
Let's see if he does it against the Red Sox.
So fair enough, Alan. And I think that's the best thing you can say about all these pitching numbers and all the way the Dodgers look. They did it against the National League. It's an inferior product, especially offensively. You just can't compare. Although I think the AL was down this year, so I don't know, maybe we can debate that. But, you know, I think generally speaking, you're going against NL lineups. You're pitching to the pitcher a lot of nights, so for these starting pitchers anyway. So fair enough. Can the Dodgers duplicate what they've done against a great lineup, the best lineup in baseball? Fair question.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. Again, all I'm saying with regard to this series is that I think it's a series. That's all. I just feel like people have been very cavalier and downright cocky about how good the Red Sox are and what kind of role they're on, which I get given how they've played so far. I just don't think that this means that this series is going to be a walkover. I have a hard time believing that.
Okay. Meanwhile, guess who's back? A favorite Red Sox of all time, a favorite play of all time, and one of the iconic moments in the history of this franchise, and someone's getting pissed off at it. Guess who? Guess who's getting bothered by it? We'll discuss right after Murray's update, in which we'll also discuss a superstar-laden team suddenly kind of sucking.
Oh, yeah. No.
Let's get to that, too.
Yeah, they kind of suck.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is great coming back to this great city, and I've got nothing but great memories. Even flying into Logan, and just this time of year, this city, the leaves changing, and then you drive up to Fenway Park, and it all just kind of comes back to you. 2004, and the teammates that I had, the coaches, and that energy that only Fenway Park has. So to kind of recount that, and you take it on another level of Alex and I were former teammates and very good friends, and competing with each other, against each other, and to kind of see our different paths and where we've come, it's really exceeded all of our dreams. And this is a dream job for me, and I know, speaking for him, this is his dream job. So for us to play for a world championship, West Coast, East Coast, Dodgers, Red Sox, I just can't see it getting any better.
Dave Roberts, author of one of the most allegedly important, I'll get to that in a second, certainly one of the most iconic plays in the history of the Boston Red Sox, the stolen base in ALCS game number 4 that ultimately led to the winning run, and push that series to five, then six, then seven games. You wanted to win your first World Series in 86 years. We all know the story, the stolen base that led people to say Dave Roberts will never have to buy another drink in this town again, etc., etc., will be announced tonight in front of the Fenway Park crowd as part of the World Series introductions. Your thoughts on this, Maz? If you're standing in the stands and Dave Roberts is introduced, what do you do?
I'd boo his ass. That's what I would do. I'd boo him. Like, again, look, thanks. It was 14 years ago. Thank you very much. Appreciate the contribution. You are now the enemy. I would lay down the law early. Lay it down early. And honestly, and I felt this way a few years ago when, because we've talked about Roberts and some of the other things that have gone on with the Dodgers in recent years. You know, remember he pulled that kid with a perfect, it was Rich Hill, I think. He pulled him with a no hitter, all of that. Like, and honestly, I got sick of Dave Roberts a long time ago. I got so sick of Dave Roberts, it's not even funny. It was 14 years ago, he stole a base. That's it.
So I thought you were anti-booing Adam Vinatieri, though. How's this different?
Because it's the World Series. Play Vinatieri in the Super Bowl. Boo his ass.
No, I'm still not doing
it. Boo him. Boo him all you want.
No, because if you provide one of the iconic moments in one of the teams that I root for, and it leaves me with a good memory, you're getting a cheer from me. I don't care if it's the championship game, the World Series, whatever it is. This guy stole the base that sparked the comeback that ended decades upon decades of losing for this tortured franchise.
See,
I cheer.
The more I think about it, Bill Miller got the hit that tied the game.
I think it was a walk.
No. Millar walked. Roberts got on.
Right.
Ran for Millar, and then Bill Miller singled up the middle against Mariano Rivera. No small thing, by the way, to get a single off of Mariano Rivera.
Do you want to know what I feel about the steal? Top five most overrated plays in the history of Boston sports.
It's up there.
I mean, number one is unquestioned. There is nothing close to the most overrated play in the history of Boston sports. There's nothing close to it.
Oh, I know what it is.
Fisk home run.
Bobby Orr's goal.
Okay. Bobby Orr's goal.
Which was a dive.
Which was a flop on top of it. Good job, Jimmy. But that's not why it's overrated.
They were up 3-0.
You were up 3-0 against an expansion team. That was the era where they put like all the new teams in one side and all the existing original six on the other. And so the Blues were just the king of the dip bleeps. You know what I mean? Like it was the expansion team that, so you were up 3-0 against an expansion team. You weren't losing the series. It was a great pitcher and a great moment. But, oh, God, is that an overrated play? The Bobby Orr goal. And I love Bobby, and I mean it. And like, I'm talking like I know the guy. Well, I don't. But I'm not talking about the person or anything. I'm talking about that goal. Oh, my God. Most overrated play in the history of Boston sports is Bobby Orr's goal. Now we can talk about 2, 3, 4, 5. The Robert Steele is in there somewhere. Okay. You were down 3-0 at the time in the series. No one thought that meant anything at the time. Anything. It was a low leverage play, to coin a phrase.
Go back and watch the video with the crowd. They're going out of their minds.
Because they're stupid. They're down 3-0. No one thought you were winning that series. There was nobody out. Millar got the walk. Miller got the hit. So,
like, I still think the hit was the biggest part of the whole thing.
It's just a happiness. I mean, a bigger play in that game, was it Tony Clark that just hit a ball foul or just went in the stands or something?
No, it bounced fair and then bounced in the crowd. Had it hit the sidewall and stayed in play, the Yankees would have scored.
Right, there was a runner on.
Yep.
There was a runner on, and Tony Clark hit a double down the line that bounded into the stands. If it hits 6 inches lower, it rattles around in that corner, and the Yankees have the go-ahead run.
I would say it's almost like getting a fan interference call in the LCS or something like that.
I'm just saying, in that series, there's any manner of David Ortiz hit that was more important than the Robert Steele, or was more significant because as you started to climb back in, each game meant more. And Schilling's performance in Game 6 and all those things. I can give you 10 things, 20 things.
Hell, Mark Bellhorn's homer in Game 6 might have been more important.
The stolen base. So anyway, that's my thought on it. But you think fans are going to cheer him tonight?
Oh, I do, and it's going to make me puke. It's like it's the World Series for crying out loud. You're going to cheer this guy in opening introductions? You want to really make a statement? Boo. He'll laugh. By the way, Roberts will laugh.
Absolutely.
Boo his ass. Boo him. Boo him right off the field. Boo his pants off. Boo his jersey off. Boo his hat off. Boo his ass. Boo him. Boo him. He'll laugh. And you'll tell him right then and there, it's over. We've won two other titles since then.
We'll cheer you after.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Like, we're done with it. By the way, Murray, that iconic moment in Red Sox history, do you remember what Dave Roberts hit in the 2004 postseason? Do you remember?
Nothing, right?
Yeah. Zero!
Yeah.
In fact, not even zero. No number. He never got in at bat.
Right.
Never get to the plate. Never batted. All he was a pinch runner. Herb Washington Jr., for crying out loud, and people don't know who he is. He was a pinch runner for the Oakland A's in the early 70s, a former track star that they signed exclusively to be a pinch runner. That's what he was. He didn't bat. And Roberts didn't bat. They got him to run. And like, and look, it worked. For the one play, it worked.
Yeah, I just think you're kind of downplaying it. I mean, it helped put the screw to the Yankees. It showed that there was a vulnerability there with
Whoa. Up 3-0 with
in
the stolen base?
In terms of pressure on Rivera at that moment, it did. It mattered. History is decided. If it was the way that you guys are talking about it, people would have forgotten about it in 2005.
Happenstance. Well, people are stupid. It's just happenstance. And it's cute to say that it's that. I mean, the steal did sort of start it. But at the time, what I'm saying is, I mean, the Yankees defended the play. They almost threw him out. I'm not saying it's like
it's close.
They let him have it.
No, it was a steal. It wasn't a... The Yankees executed defensively. Robert stole it on his speed.
Yeah. And if it was...
And his base stealing acumen.
And if it happened today, it would, after 5 minutes of review, they would have called him safe. I'm just saying at the time, it's like, come on. At the time, come on. It wasn't a series. It wasn't a crucial moment to keep you in it because you didn't think... in what? No one felt you were in it. Yeah. Most overrated play in the history of Boston sports is Bobby Orr. Who else is on that list? Just why I'm asking. Think about it.
There's got to be something.
Think about it.
Got to be something from the Celtics.
Think about it. Most overrated plays in the history of Boston sports. Bobby Orr's goal number. Don't even tell me there's anything more overrated than Bobby Orr's goal.
Flutie to Phelan.
It's not even close, but think about it.
The Fisk home run.
Let's take a break and come back with some thoughts. Well, you tease it a little bit. But Dave Roberts, that steal, I'm sorry, it's on the list.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A pinch runner, Dave Roberts, is going to come in for Boston. He can run. Picked up from the Dodgers. Miller still waiting for his first pitch. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts. Safe.
Roberts had a great jump. It was a good ball for Posada to throw on. Good call. Roberts was 38 for 41 in stolen bases. Nearly perfect.
There's that Robert steal that led to the first world championship in 86 years. One of the most overrated plays in Boston sports history. Man, Maz says to boo Dave Robertson. Not because it's an overrated play. We can debate that. That's just a goofy sports debate. Maz, I think your point is it's the World Series now. You're the enemy. And so we're not going to celebrate the stolen base. We'll do that at some other time.
Yeah, gloves are off. You get cheered when you walk into a restaurant for dinner here. Have a blast. Good for you. But as manager of the Dodgers, game one of the World Series, boo. Boo! Boo! Boo!
If I was there, I'd cheer.
Boo!
Murray, what did you come up with?
I said it before the break. It's Flutie to Doug Phelan, the Hail Mary against the Miami Hurricanes in 1984. I was just a kid, but obviously I've seen it a billion times since. It's a fluke play. Nobody but an alum around here actually gives a rat's ass about Boston College. And Doug Flutie is a line crossing scab, and that should never be forgotten. I hate that play.
And
it's a good one.
It is a good one. Let me give you a couple more. I think Miami was down that year. They lost like three games or something, and they had given up a Hail Mary to Maryland on an almost the exact same play a couple weeks before. So they were sort of down and playing out the string and sucked in that, you know, had given it up already. So I don't know. I'm with you. So overrated plays in Boston sports history. I would just say anything from 1967 and the Red Sox, because you lost. So, like, what's the point? You lost. So anything from 1967 overrated. Does that mean that Carbo's three-run homer in 75 was overrated and Carlton Fisk's thing was overrated?
No. Because, I mean, those won you the game.
Let me tell you what. Carbo's is not, because you were down, and that it was a three-run homer in the eighth, right?
Pinch hit. It was huge.
Okay, so I think that one was a higher degree of difficulty than Fisk. You were tied. If he doesn't hit that, you go into another extra inning, right?
Correct.
So you had to have Carbo's.
I mean, the Carbo homer was, to me, gigantic.
So fine, if you compare plays from that game, Fisk's home run gets all the play because of the great camera angle, but it was Carbo's home run that was a bigger play. Fine. I'll agree with that. But if it's done in defeat, is it overrated? Does that mean the Bruins and the Leafs a couple years ago, Game 7, with the three-goal comeback?
Oh, good one.
Was that overrated, Murray?
No, that was awesome.
You didn't seem to feel that way at the time.
I did.
Yeah! Yeah, mother... Yeah! 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 Woo! There it is.
It's one of the great comebacks I've ever seen in my life.
It was unbelievable.
But holy! Oh, I want to swear so bad.
So what did it lead to, though?
Take that, Reimer, you bum.
It led to Jim Murray getting a job here. Right. It's not overrated at all.
That's true. Yeah, no. So definitely not overrated. No, we're happy to have Murray.
Most overrated.
Wow. Holy. Oh, I want to. Ah! Holy. Wow. Huh?
Do the show, Jim.
that was great.
I was writing down Bird's big game against Dominique Wilkins. This duel, was it 1988? Whatever year it was, that he had this duel with Dominique Wilkins. I'm sorry. Dominique Wilkins and the Atlanta Hawks. There is nothing all-time more significant that could ever happen against the Atlanta Hawks. Overrated. Overrated. And I'd say the same thing for Bird slapping his face against the floor against the Indiana Pacers. And who's the guy that always went back and forth?
Chuck Person. The rifle mouth.
It was the Pacers. And you were done by that point. Overrated. O-R.
So yeah, you said the Bergeron goal was overrated?
Yeah.
Get in there! Yeah.
Hold on. Who scored it?
Got it.
Bergeron.
Yeah. No, I liked it at the time. I mean, don't get me wrong. But in hindsight, is it a little overrated?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean,
it's... Oh, they tied it up!
Yeah, it was a bad day. It was a bad day for me. I'm not proud of that.
I mean, I think if you really spend some energy thinking about it, I bet you could come up with 10 for the Celtics alone.
No question.
I just thought of one, too. With no disrespect to our beloved Scott Zolak.
Do it.
The unicorns and show ponies, that touchdown against the Saints. But that season ended up in failure. Like, did that really ultimately matter when they get their ass kicked in Denver in the AFC Championship game that year? And he's trying to throw passes to, was it Austin Cauley?
All right, so listen, I don't want to get bogged down by this topic because we're here to talk about the World Series. Maz just wants you to boo Dave Roberts.
I'd boo his pants off tonight. I would.
But I will do a quick lightning round on this. So this means you have to be quick. In and out. Zach and DC, go quick.
Felga, Maz, I love you guys, but man, you are totally wrong about this deal. I mean, you have the best postseason pitcher, I think, in the history of the league on the mound. Posada that year, I think, was what, 38 for 41? He was perfect, almost perfect. Everyone in that stadium knew he was going to steal. Posada gave a perfect throw, perfect tag, and he just got in there. And then, yes, Miller probably deserves some more credit for the hit that he got. But if he didn't have, Robertson didn't steal that base to get the hit in the first place, he would be on third instead of home. He'd still be down a run, and then who knows what
Nobody out. First and third, nobody out. First and third, nobody out.
And if you're going to play that game, if Millar doesn't walk, Roberts doesn't get to run.
If he doesn't steal the base, you're first and third, nobody out. Overrated. Jeff in New Hampshire, go.
Hey, listen, I love calling into the consistently inconsistent Felger. Hey, listen, buddy, why don't you apply the karma rule to the stolen base? You know, it was karma. That's why the fans were excited.
Only in hindsight was it karma. That was not karma.
I also think it's because it was the Red Sox and they actually stole a meaningful base that people overrated.
Mike and Woburn, go.
The single greatest play in my lifetime in terms of a stolen base. Awesome. Everybody knew he was going. He went. He took it. It started the whole thing. It basically led to the fact that the Red Sox fan finally gets to take a giant steaming dump in the Yankees Cheerios for the next basically decade. Awesome.
It didn't start everything. The walk started everything, and the next guy singled. So if he hadn't stolen the base, you would have had first and third, nobody out. What did the next guy do? Let's just see. Hold on. Stand by. What did the next guy do? I have it right here. All right, so Miller singles, Doug Minkiewicz.
Oh, he made an out for sure.
Yeah, he grounded out.
He sucked offensively.
Damon then reached on an error. So you would have scored on the Johnny Damon reaching on an error. You would have scored that inning. You would have scored that inning without the stolen base. That's just a fact. Well, a recreated fantasy fact. Felger fact. That's a Felger fact. Again,
it's an optional fact.
Okay, I'm not doing the last
Did
hour.
Did the Red Sox win the Dave Roberts Hanley Stanley trade? Oh,
I don't even know what the hell that means.
I don't know.
I get it, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jim. I'm glad somebody does.
So, all right, good. We've exhausted that topic. Back to the World Series. Who do you like tonight? And what the F is Drew Pomerantz doing on this team? We'll tell you what he's doing right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.